The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today. After suffering through the traumatic effects of abortion, Victoria Robinson found restoration and purpose by helping others.
I ran to them and said, "Teach me to do what you just did for me, so that every woman who's had an abortion knows Jesus loves her and she can forgive, he will forgive them, and they can walk in the same redemption I feel today for the first time in 10 years.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and I'm so glad you're here. And I'm also thrilled to have my amazing friend Victoria Robinson with us today, all the way from our hometown in Nashville, Tennessee. She is a bold, compassionate, truth-telling voice on the issues of abortion, a powerhouse who has spent nearly 30 years advocating for life and helping people find hope and freedom. She's the author of They Lied to Us and They Lied to Us Too, and the founder of Reassemble, a ministry dedicated to helping women, men, and couples walk toward true healing after abortion. Her story of heartbreak, redemption, and recovery, it's powerful. And her courage is setting people free. So welcome, my good friend, Victoria Robinson. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here with you.
I love you so much.
I love you back.
I have known bits and pieces of your story for years. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to watch God use you has been powerful. Whenever we get to watch our friends being used mm-hmm. of God, I think it's powerful, and I have loved it. But I don't think the beginning was all that easy for you. So I think it would be great to go back and tell the beginning story of your life.
I was a single mother. My husband decided when my babies were 9 months and three to leave. And he didn't want to be married anymore. He didn't want to be a dad. So he went as far as North Carolina to California. He got as far away from us as he could, never sending financial support, no emotional support. So I had these two babies that went from being with mommy a lot to going to daycare at 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. every night because I had to work 7 days a week. So on the weekends, there were sitters. So my life at that time, Tammy, was so chaotic. And I just honestly didn't know how I was going to do it. So I met someone at my second job on the weekends, and I fell madly in love, and we really did love each other. And 9 months later, because I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing, I was pregnant. And when I told him I was pregnant, I thought he would tell me, "We're getting married anyway one day. I love you, you love me. Okay, we're just doing this sooner," because we had talked about having our own biological children in the future. But he didn't. He said, "I think you need to have an abortion." Wow. I'd never thought that word would enter a conversation pertaining to me. I had friends who'd had abortions. I didn't agree with it, but I was still their friend and supported them. It ended one friendship who'd had seven abortions and used it as birth control. And I just told her, I can't accept this anymore. This is too much. And now here I was in a desperate situation, thinking it was my only option. The abortion industry convinced me that it was the best option and actually said to me, "You'd be a really selfish mom, and you seem like you're such a good mom to your little girls. And don't you think that would be really selfish to bring another mouth to feed when you can barely feed these that you have?" So it all made sense because I needed to hear that. So I had a boyfriend convincing me it was the best. I had a woman who showed me a lot of compassion from the abortion facility in Charlotte, North Carolina, telling me, "This is the right choice for you. You've told me your story. Your husband's left. You're not getting support. You're still single, struggling." So on a Saturday morning, I made an appointment. And on that Saturday morning, I kissed my baby girls goodbye. They were laying on a floor kind of like this, coloring. And I'd gotten a babysitter, and I looked at them, kissed them bye, and left. Told the babysitter, made up some lie where I was going. And I drove myself to an abortion facility in Charlotte, North Carolina. The whole way there, Tammy, I was remembering this woman telling me on the phone a couple days earlier, "It's nothing more than a blob of tissue. So it's no big deal. You're only 6 weeks pregnant. There's nothing there anyway." And when I got to the abortion clinic, I walked in, and the woman who walked out 2 hours later was never the same.
How old were you?
Gosh, I was 22.
When you say, "I was not the same," Can you describe that for me, like walking in and how that changed you walking out?
So the woman I was walking in was someone who was trusted my children to go with friends and family. Okay. The woman that walked in had higher self-esteem, yeah. So I thought.
Yeah.
The woman that walked in truly believed this was the best choice and that there were no other options. But as soon as I got on the elevator after they killed my baby, I knew then that I just made the biggest mistake of my life, and that and how was I going to recover? So I buried it, Tammy. I buried it.
Yeah.
I had to. I couldn't tell anybody. Yeah. And I always tell young girls, if you can't tell your best friend and your mom about something you're about to do, that's called a clue. And so the boyfriend and I, our relationship was never the same. He never looked at me the same. I never looked at him the same because he should have protected me and our baby, and he failed us both. And he looked at me, I'm sure, and thought, I can't believe she actually did it.
Wow.
So our relationship ended. So we lost the relationship.
Okay.
Our child was killed.
Yeah.
And now here I am dealing with all the pieces of my life and the ramifications of making that choice. I became a helicopter mother. Never let my girls out of my sight unless I was working. And then I had to call to make sure they were okay, because I convinced myself God was going to take one of them to pay me back for what I'd done.
Oh my goodness, Vic. How long did you carry this? And did you ever feel like you were in a safe place to even talk to anybody about it? Or did you just try to carry this secret all by yourself? And what did that do to you?
Oh gosh, it destroyed me. I got involved in relationships I shouldn't have that were abusive because I thought I deserved it. I was afraid to step foot in a church because I thought, God's going to strike me dead. He hates me. Who am I to go there? I felt like a hypocrite if I would walk into a church. I felt so much shame, Tammy, and so much guilt that I kept friends at a distance. You know, we're good, close friends, but I would never have let you in my life back then. I couldn't let a woman be too close of friends, because what do? We share our secrets.
They're going to find out my
secret. They're
going
to find out.
And then everything will change.
Absolutely. And that's what I convinced myself of for 10 years. And 10 years later, I met a woman who was the CEO of a pregnancy center. And I was drawn to her. And finally, one day I just said, I need help. Do you think God really forgives women after having an abortion? And she said, yes, I know he does, because I've had an abortion. And now God's going to take what the enemy meant to destroy you, Vic, and turn it into good. But first, you've got to get some healing. So I went to a recovery retreat for women like me.
Okay.
It was the very first weekend 30 years ago that they'd ever done. They took a 9-week study and put it in 3.5 days.
Okay.
And they had one spot left. So when I got there on that Thursday, Tammy, I looked at the two facilitators, Carolyn and Trina, and I said, how are you going to help me
That's
in
probably
3 days?
That's probably how you feel, or many might feel, because you've been carrying this around for years.
Yes.
So how, if I haven't been able to find healing, hope, or freedom from this in 30 years, 20, 50, 60, whatever it is, how will I find it in 2 or 3, 4 days?
Exactly. And that's what I said.
Okay.
I said, I've asked him for 10 years to forgive me. I have begged him to take this burden from me and for me not to feel this shame and guilt everywhere I go. And they just looked at me and said, we're just glad you're here.
Wow.
At that moment, I wanted to slap their little church lady faces, to be honest. But I wanted what they had. They had a peace, because both of them were like me, post-abortive. On the Sunday it was over, Tammy, I ran to them and said, teach me to do what you just did for me, so that every woman who's had an abortion knows Jesus loves her and she can forget, he will forgive them, and they can walk in the same redemption I feel today for the first time in 10 years. And they did. They took me under their wing and they mentored me. And I've been doing these retreats now for 30 years for women and now men.
Wow,
and couples who chose to abort their own baby, because these people are hurting, Tammy.
And
they're sitting in church after church after church, and they're begging for someone to tell them, yes, you made a wrong decision, but God loves you. And he did not just die on the cross for that unborn child that was murdered. He died for you too. And he's here to redeem your life.
Your story is incredible. I think about you being in that retreat after those couple days that you were there. Looking back, what do you think it was? What was the moment that you think that just was a final, it was a breakthrough that you finally got? What was that? And I'm sure if you can identify that, that's the one thing you're probably hopeful for, that these girls especially and men will find the same breakthrough in their life.
It was Jesus, Tammy. I got to know him in a way I never knew him. I didn't know he loved me in spite of what I'd done. Mm. And my identity shifted from being a woman who carried an identity of abortion to my identity being in Christ.
Wow.
And that changed everything.
Wow.
I could not even look in a mirror, Tammy, for 10 years and say to myself alone in my bathroom, you had an abortion. I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth until I spoke to Mary. Mm. But in that retreat, the Lord showed me, I have redeemed you. And now look what I'm doing. He sends me everywhere.
Yes.
A woman who could tell no one now doesn't care what you think anymore of her. I only care what he says
That's
about
right.
me.
And you are free.
And I am forgiven and set free.
And you are free. Okay, you said something there, forgiven. How important is forgiveness on the road back to healing for those that have been affected by abortion? You know, we've all somehow known somebody, been affected. It's touched all of our lives, don't you think, in some way? When I think of women sitting in a church, I don't know what the statistics are, maybe 1 in 6 or 1 in 5. I don't know, but
it's high. It's about 1 in 4.
It's crazy that we've been touched or maybe helped paid for or knew about all the things or kept inside for so many years. It's unbelievable to me. And I just think that your life speaks for itself. So when you think about that freedom and forgiveness that you've walked through in forgiveness, how important is that?
It's critical, and it is the gospel. And so the person who is living in sin or the person who has had a sin like abortion or any sin until they accept Christ's forgiveness, they're still walking in, they're walking wounded. Mm. And when they'll say to me a lot, Tammy, well, I know God forgives all sin, but not abortion. And I look at them and say, do you know what you're doing every time you say that? You're walking up to the cross while he's dying.
Yeah.
And you're slapping his face saying, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Because he did it all at the cross. So he's saying to you, I do take that sin, even that sin of abortion. When they shift their paradigm, it changes everything.
Yes, it does.
So forgiveness is everything.
It's everything. Repentance, I've often said this too, it's repentance is a gift to us.
Yes.
Getting to that place of like, I messed up. I missed the mark.
Yeah.
But transformation, to me, cannot happen without true repentance in our lives.
Absolutely.
Blessing can't happen without true surrender in our lives. So I think that's where you truly, you've walked all of those things out in your life. And that's where you finally found freedom to come to terms with the truth of the choices you made, but the truth of who God says you are and what he's done and how he redeems and how you recover. It's incredible to watch. I wonder, in that same tone of forgiveness, did you ever get to go back to that ex?
Yes.
What was that moment like?
So when my first book came out, They Lied to Us, I felt like I needed to get in touch with him. We had not spoken in 10 years because I wanted him to know I did not give any identifying factors about him in the book away. So I did, because we had a lot of friends that's still in common. So when I called him, Tammy, I got his number and I said, hey, it's me. Here I was. I'd already gone through the retreat. I'd now written this book that was about to be published. And I've been doing a few retreats, so I knew what forgiveness was. But when I heard his voice, immediately I realized, oh my gosh, I don't know if I've forgiven this guy. But when I said, hey, it's me, he started to weep. And he said, I've been waiting for this call for over a decade, Vic, to beg you forgiveness for what I made you do. It has haunted me all these years, and I've been in therapy 8 years dealing with it. I should have protected you. I should have protected our child. I failed you both. Can you ever forgive me? Tammy, in that moment is when I realized I still was holding residual unforgiveness towards him, thinking he'd went on with his life, forgotten all about me and what happened and our baby, but I was wrong. And the second thing that Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said was, don't you ever forget these fathers because they're hurting too. Those children had fathers. And I have not ever since that day forgotten the fathers. So men would start coming up to me if I spoke at a church or at an event or get in touch with me and say, do you only help women? So that's when Men's Retreats was birthed just a few short years ago. And I'm thinking, Lord, men, you want me to, you know, do retreats for men? And of course, I don't stay overnight. I have men that work with me who do. I just lead the sessions. And Tammy, I never thought men would talk because they don't talk much. Right. We're the talkers.
Right.
But these men come after decades of walking with their mouth shut because they're told, shut up, it's not your body, your choice. And I tell them, it's not her body either. And they start sharing on Thursday when we start, and they don't stop till Sunday. And they tell me on Sunday, Victoria, what can I do to get in this fight? There are men and women sitting in churches week after week, Tammy, who don't know what to do. They feel like a hypocrite if they get involved in ministry. Yeah. They don't want to go to the pastor and tell them because they feel judgment or condemnation. That's why I tell pastors, you have to talk about the sin of abortion, but also the redemption that comes from Jesus Christ's forgiveness. Yeah. It's so important. So I now do men's retreats, and these men are just set free and healed, and then they're ready to stand up and be the men of God they know He's called them to be.
I love that there's recovery for men as well. So what does that practically and actually look like, abortion recovery?
It looks like you're going to come on a Thursday. They stay together the whole weekend, and we do a Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free that is specific to the abortion wound, all biblically based, very scripture heavy. I had a few people tell me once, that one has too much scripture in it. I'm like, what, are you high? I mean, the only thing that's going to set people free is the Word of God.
There's the door.
Yes, so it is the
best. You can't take it.
So they come to these retreats, and we go through one chapter at a time throughout the whole weekend. I don't give them the whole book because I don't want them to be, oh gosh, what's coming?
Overwhelmed,
And then we do symbolic gestures and different object lessons. And it's a very intense 3.5 days. I sit back, Tammy, and I watch what the God of the universe does in 3.5 days with people who have carried this for decades. I just finished a men's retreat before I flew here. And I just watch Him. And I tell anybody who is pro-choice or who wants to condemn, even the Christians, especially those Christians who want to condemn people who've had abortions, I say, sit in on a retreat if you could, but I keep them very confidential. But I say, if you could see what abortion does to people, it not only destroys the unborn, it destroys a part of God's people, and they are God's people. And so I love to just sit back and say, Lord, if I showed up without you, they'd be worse off than they got here. Thank God you always show up and you always show off.
There are so many women and men that have carried this secret their whole life because they don't feel safe. They don't want to be judged. They feel disqualified. They don't feel loved by the Father. They feel like they've made the worst mistake of their life and they can't undo it. So I would ask, maybe if you take a minute and pray with me, like if we could pray together for somebody today that might just be struggling. They're sitting alone right now in the space alone, and nobody sees them, nobody knows. So I want to speak into their life.
I love that. I want them to know that the Lord sees them and He knows their hearts, and He knows that that He's just knocking on the door, waiting. So let's pray.
Let's do it.
Lord, I thank You so much for Tammy and Father for this opportunity, Jesus. Lord, to let others know who are suffering, Father, from the pain of abortion, God, that You love them and that You are waiting for them. Father, I pray they'll have the courage to run to You, Lord, to run to You and accept what You did for them on the cross, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You love them so much that You've let them find this show. That, God, they maybe have been praying and praying and never even knew something like Reassemble existed. So I thank You, God, that You lead them to me or others that are helping people just like them. But, Father, may they know their lives are redeemable. Their lives are worthy because of You. And I thank You, God, that this pain and heartache they're walking in, they won't walk in one more day. But they will know, Father God, that You are who You say You are.
and they are who you say they are. Mm-hmm. They are redeemed Jesus and restored, Hallelujah. And they can be reconciled to the Father. Thank you, in the Father. Name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. 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 Listen, if that's you, if you felt that tug in your heart, in your spirit, and you think, that is me, you prayed for me. Look, there is a phone number right there on your screen. You can pick up your phone right now and call that number, and someone will also come alongside you and pray with you personally right now. We would be honored to do that, to begin this journey of absolute freedom in your life, because you do not have to carry this alone. You just don't. Don't listen to that lie anymore that you're disqualified and that you'll never be more than this mistake. It's an absolute lie, and we will come against that with you right now in prayer. So pick up the phone and call us and let us walk this out with you. There are also some people around the world that I've got to spend so much time with that are suffering right now and are in desperate need of clean water. Take a look at this. When we come out on the other side, we'll wrap it up with Victoria.
This scene plays out millions of times every day in developing countries around the world. A mother taking her child to collect water for their family. Marie used to make this same trip with three of her other children, but that is no more. Although the names change, the stories are the same for mothers like Therese, who lost two children to a waterborne disease. Marta, who still grieves from her loss of two children, sums up the fears and desperation of all the mothers in this area.
That's what breaks my heart. They have no other option, nowhere else to go. They will dig and dig and dig to try to find fresh, clean water, and they just can't get there. It's underneath their feet, but they need help. And we can help them. We can help them get that water. We can come in here, and we can drill a well that would change everything for these children, these mothers, for the rest of their lives. I'm asking you to believe with me for that change. Please, would you join with me? Would you give the best gift that you could give that could change everything for them today? It's so close. It's what I keep thinking when I see that. It's so close. The water is so close. They're almost there. It's just beneath their feet. Almost every trip that I've taken over 16 years, where I've gone into these communities, these villages, the water is so close. They just need help getting to it. They can't reach it. And in the meanwhile, just as we heard with Maria, their children are dying. It seems so unfair that a mother would have to choose to give their child that water and wonder if they might die, or to not give them that water and know that they will die in just a couple days. To sit with these women who are weeping, who are crying out to God for help, who are doing everything they can do. I'm telling you, when I go there and I'm seeing them, they work hard. They are protecting their children. They are trying to do everything they can to bring life to their children. And then when one is taken because of the water they're drinking, when they have no other option, the devastation, the suffering, the grief that is put onto these mothers is enormous. Sometimes I just sit with them and I just hold them and I don't even know what to say, except for help is on the way. Help is on the way. Hang on another day. Hang on to your children, hang tight, hang on to hope. Help is on the way. And then you know what I do? I get on a plane and I come home and I sit before you today and I say, would you help me? Would you help us? Would you help us bring the help that they desperately need? We get a chance to do that today together. And look, no gift is too small. your $25, your $50, your $100, your $500, your $1,000. We will pull it all together. Just plant the seed and water it. We will collect the harvest, and together we will drill another well, a $4,800 well here and a $4,800 well here. And this is what that will look like if you practically think about coming together. We're right now wanting to drill 350 wells in 20 nations. So for $48, you will provide water for 10 people right now for the rest of their lives. For $144, you will help provide water for 30 people. And for that $4,800, you will provide an entire well for that community right now that will give them water for life for the rest of their lives. So come on, let's do it. It is desperate. The need is so critical right now. Pick up the phone, go online, and let's do this together. Whatever gift you can give today, just give it, sow it, plant it, and we will collect the harvest, and we will change lives forever together.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, fresh drinking water, free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Discovering the Joy of Reading God's Word. Whether you've read the Bible for years or are just beginning, this book invites you to experience Scripture in a fresh, more intimate way. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request Life's beautiful 2026 bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hope you're going online, and please give the best gift you can give today. It will make such a big difference. And Victoria, I love you. Thank you for being here. Where can people find you?
If you're a woman, if you're a man, if you're a couple who's had an abortion in your past, please go to the website, reassemblelife.com. Okay. I personally read every email and respond. No one else is going to know your secret, only me. It's very, very confidential and safe. Okay. So please get in touch with me.
I love you. You are the real deal, and people are truly being set free through your ministry. Thank you for being here, my friend, and thank you for being here. We'll see you next time on Life Today. Bye-bye.
Visit lifetoday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs. Visit lifetoday.org and experience the best of life.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Karen Hottie Miller argues that we are never more fragile than when we make ourselves the center of our story.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.